The following is a talk that I'm about to give at the Aguda Convention in November of 1993. The topic is Preparing Our Children for Marriage.
We're grateful to Rav Nissim Wolfen and to Rav Leibish Becker and the officers of Aguda Yisrael for inviting me to speak to all of you here today. The Ran in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph gives us a very interesting definition on the word Shiduchin. He bases it on a pasuk in Shoftim, on the Targum, on a pasuk in Shoftim. In Shoftim, Perek Gimel pasuk Yud Aleph, it tells us that when Othniel ben Kenaz was the Shoftim in Klal Yisrael, there was a period of war. But afterwards, Vatishkoi Ta'oretz Arvoim Shana. There was peace and tranquility in the land for 40 years. And the Targum for the word Vatishkoi is Ushidoichas Ara, Shiduchin. A sign of peace and tranquility. And that's what the Ran says. That's the goal of every siddach, of every marriage. To find peace and tranquility, alavai it should only be so. But all of us in this room know of broken hearts, broken dreams, and broken homes. And all of us have to know that it is imperative for every year to understand that it is only within the framework of marriage that both a man and a woman can fulfill their great potential. In Daf Beis Amud Aleph, right in the beginning in Sota, it talks about marriage, and the Gemara brings the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk we can understand that it has a shaychus with marriage. But what does the second part of the pasuk have to do with marriage? The pasuk is in Tehillim Samaches Zayin, and it says, Elokim Moishiv Yechidim Baita. The Eibishter takes individuals and brings them into a home as a family. We can understand that has to do with marriage. But the second part of the pasuk is Moishi Asirim B'Kaisharai. It talks about the Yidn Mitzrayim. The Eibishter took out the Asirim, the prisoners, at the most opportune time. The Eibishter could have taken them out in the winter, but then it would have been difficult to walk. It's too cold. He could have taken them out in the summer. It would have been too hot. So he took them out B'Kaisharai at the most opportune time in springtime. What's up to some with marriage? But I believe the second part of the pasuk has a great lesson for us. Every person, before they are married, is a prisoner in his own body. It's only through marriage, when a person has an Eza Kenegda, when a man has a woman working together with him, when a woman has a man working together with him, Eza Kenegda, then a person can unleash their great potential. Moisi Asir and David said, takes out the prisoner within ourselves, the Kaisharai, at the most opportune time. There's a beautiful story that happens with Rav Shamshon Mefol Hirsch. In 1830, Rav Shamshon Mefol Hirsch was a 22-year-old man, and in that year, he got his first position as a Rav. This was in the town of Oldenburg. A year later, he was introduced to a young lady. Her name was Johanna Ochana Yeidel. And he met with her, and after a while, he told her that he would like to marry her. So she said to him, "But I'm 2 years older than you." So he said to her, "For what I have to accomplish in my life, I can't marry a child." And he married her. And that's how Rav Shamshon Mefol Hirsch understood what marriage was all about. It wasn't the chitzonis. It was somebody that he felt that he could build a life with, that they would both together fulfill their great potential. So where do we get our ideas for marriage? Rav Tam, every year, Parshas Chayesara in Perek Adas gives a drasha on marriage. And many times he quotes the Rabbeinu Bechaya in Bereishis Chof Dalet Gimel. Listen to this interesting minig. We don't have it anymore today. But Rabbeinu Bechaya tells us that when a chosin was called for the Torah before he got married, after his aliyah, they would roll the Sefer Torah to the place, to the parsha that Rabbi Steinberg was referring to, the parsha when Eliezer went to get a shura for Yitzchak. V'yalkein hukva b'Yisrael minik likra parsha zu l'chosin b'gayim chosin osay. They used to lane that parsha besides the regular aliyah. L'hazira on to warn the nation, say Yizar ben Yisrael, before you get married, you got to be careful. Don't go after a yoifi. Don't go after momoin. Don't go after a fancy mishpacha that's going to help you get along. A person has to be careful who he chooses. And the Chacham Sofer says, just on this parsha, you know why it's marich? You know why it's repeated so long? B'inyin zivug Yitzchok v'chol hat establish shenata b'zeh lahoret l'bnei Yisrael. It's so lengthy to teach Klal Yisrael. Ech tzorech zehirus yaseira v'shkida v'ashkofa rabba shelo yizavik b'ein eroi. This part is very long, the Sam Sefer tells us, teaching us that we have to be so careful, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't get the wrong shida. And so what I would like to talk about today is not only choosing the right shida, but becoming the right shida. And that's how we prepare our children for marriage. Not only choosing for them the perfect partner, but making sure that your children become the perfect partner in marriage. A number of years ago in Kew Gardens, there was a little boy who graduated 8th grade, and he wanted to go to a dormitory high school. And his father wanted him to stay home. And it went back and forth, and finally they went to Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Yankov asked the father, is there Shalom Bayis in the house? And he said, yes. He said, if that's the case, the boy stays home. In other words, Rabbi Yankov felt that a home in which there is Shalom Bayis, that's a Beis HaMedrash. It teaches a boy how to live, how to get along with people that he sees every day that he might take for granted, how to get along with the community. Rabbi Yankov understood that a person who has Shalom Bayis is a person who's at peace with himself and peace with others. Such a person can be a perfect example how to raise a Yiddish kid, and that's why he told that child to stay home. Most marriages that fail, most marriages that have problems, is because somebody in the marriage has become self-centered. Somebody in the marriage thinks only about themselves and is not concerned for others. I would like to talk about four aspects how to make your child the perfect shidduch, the perfect partner in marriage, and then we'll talk about choosing the perfect partner. I believe one of the most important things that we can teach our children by example is to be caring, giving, and concerned for the other person. My favorite marriage story is the one where Rav Aryeh Levine went to the doctor with his wife, and they asked, and the doctor asked Rav Aryeh Levine, what are you doing here? So he said, mein wife's foot tut uns weh. My wife's foot is hurting us. He felt the pain of his wife, and obviously, surely, his wife would have felt his pain as well. A number of years ago, I had this chutz in Camp Aguna to spend a few hours with Rav Difter. A delightful 2 hours. And he told me a great story. He told me somebody went to the stifler. And complained to the stifler. He said, Friday afternoon, my house is a bahala. My wife can't get her act together. The children are running around. It's dirty in the house. Nothing is ready. What should I do? The stifler told him, Nem da bezem. That means take a broom. Get busy. Get involved. Help. That's what the stifler said. Why was it clapping only on this side? Don't worry, I have for you also. Rav Schwab is always so kind. He spends so much time with me when I have to speak for an important oilam. And he told me what you should tell the oilam is that everybody has to know that when they're getting married, and in marriage, they have to think what they're going to put into the marriage, not what they're going to take out of the marriage. And he said that this is especially so. This is especially so for young B'nai Taira whose wives are supporting them. He said, look in the tshuva, it says, Vano Eflach, I will work and I will honor the Ezen Vafarnes. That's the husband's obligation. If the wife is supporting, that's a gift that she's giving him. And if that's the case, he has to realize there's Yachrayat to be concerned and to help and to make sure and to give a tremendous Hakaras HaTayit because she's actually doing what he's supposed to be doing. We'll get there. Rav Dessler used to say at every chasana, and this is recorded in the Mikhtav Meliyol. He says, this is what I used to say to every young couple. He said, Hizor Yotorin, mein Taira, be careful and remember, always try to make sure that you want to give nachas to each other, just like right now you want to give nachas to each other. And he says, Bishah, in that time, Shehizchilud Lidroi Drisha Zemizef, in that time that you're going to want and make demands. The husband is going to want to see what he can get from the wife. The wife wants to see what she can get from the husband. He says, you should know that that's when the fortune, your good fortune, is beginning to slip away. A person has to be a giving person, and that was the advice of Rabbi Leo Dessler. And just one more point on this act of giving. Rav Nosson Sherman won't be embarrassed because he's talking someplace else. But 2 weeks ago, I had to call Rav Nosson on an Indian. He wasn't home. And I was talking to his wife a few moments. And she said to me, "Eskumton Samazotov." As a moral, of course, I thought someone had a baby. But, or maybe somebody got engaged. But before I could say anything, she said, "My husband finished the Chumash today. He's writing a brilliant commentary on Chumash." But she had said, "Kumt ums amazotov." I couldn't get over it. She felt his great joy. She shared in this project. I don't know that she was his editor. He's anybody's editor. But the idea is that she felt that joy, and that's the first lesson. We have to teach our children by example to be giving and concerned for the welfare of the partner in marriage. Rav Schwab said we have to be harmonious and courteous. He said people, men and women, talk to each other with such kaas and with such chutzpah that they wouldn't talk to anybody else. And the children see that and they learn. Listen to what Rav Schwab said. It's unbelievable. Rav Schwab said that today there has to be a stress on Derech Eretz. He said, you know, the Jewish Observer, he told me before it came out, they have 3 articles this month on Derech Eretz. He said, you know what the problem today is? That today machanchim and parents are more interested in teaching their children to kush the mezuzah than to kush each other. We have to teach our children Derech Eretz. You know what Rav Pam says? Rav Pam made a terrific deal in one of the shiurim that he gave in Tervada. He said, in the Ksuvah it says, "Va'anot eflach, I will work, va'oikir, and I will honor, va'ezan, va'afarnes, and I will support." Why does it say in that order? It should say, "I will honor and work and feed," because after you work, you're able to feed because of the parnasa. He said, no, work is going on the honor. You have to work and understand how to honor a husband, how to honor a wife. Va'anot eflach, I will work, va'oikir, so that I will learn how to honor. How do you learn? You learn by having good rebbeim, by good mechanchim, and by having parents that set an example. There's a wonderful tape Rabbi Miller has, the 10 Commandments of Marriage. I was laughing as I was driving in the car on some of the things that he says. But you know what he said? You know what the first Dvar Torah should be every Friday night? That everybody in the house, men and the children, should thank the wife for the food that she put out on the table, for the way she prepared the table, for the challah that she baked. That should be the first Dvar Torah. How many times? I know I said it, and it's really awful. And Blineda, from now I'll try not to say it. And my kids were laughing at me when I told them I'm going to say this. How many times do we say, right at the table, when the guest comes, "Oh, it's so wonderful that they came to Shabbos. We never get a meal like this." And of course, it's a backhanded compliment, right? Because after all, but how many times do we say, because no, it was made by the Rosh Hashiva and it wasn't his covet. But of course, the wife feels terrible. They go, "What do you mean I never serve like this every week? Why don't you appreciate it?" No, but you mean it at the back end of the compliment. But it's really a bazillion. The Rambam tells us in Hilchas Yisurah, Bia Perit Yitzat Halacha Zayin, if you see two families that are argumentative, if you see people that are constantly arguing, people in shul that are always arguing with the Rav, arguing with the president, old people that have complaints, Roy Lisrachik Mehen, She'elu Simoni Paslet. An argumentative person, a person who's not harmonious, a person who always looks to criticize, keep away from those type of people. We have to learn that everything that a wife does, a husband doesn't have to criticize. That everything that a husband does, a wife doesn't have to criticize. A husband sometimes comes home, she said to him, "Bring home the milk." He forgot the milk. So what did she say? She said, "Why? You know why you forgot the milk? Because you tune me out. You never listen. You don't care anything that I say." He forgot the milk. It's an innocent mistake. But she goes on and on and on. And so therefore, so what happens? It's in front of the children. He has to say something. So what does he say? "You know why I forgot the milk? Because the last time I brought you the milk, it was sour. And the long book of you hardly used it." So what happens? The whole system starts. And what happens when she forgets the suit? She forgot the suit to bring the Erev Shabbos. So he gets angry. He says, "Why didn't you bring me the suit? How am I going to go to shul? What am I going to look like in shul?" So he says it in front of the wife, and then she has to retort back because it's in front of the kids. She says, "You know why I didn't get the suit? Because you should have got it yourself. Who tells you to stay in the business till 5 minutes before Shabbat?" So all of a sudden, a small little comment. We have to remember, every wife has to remember that a comment that a husband makes is not a rebellious comment. Laugh it off or don't answer. Rabbi Miller brings an interesting gemara in Sanhedrin Zion Amud Aleph. He says, "Tuvei d'shama v'odish. It's fortunate those people who hear criticism and keep quiet. You're foregoing 100 evils." Every husband, every wife should know, especially in front of the children, if you get a criticism, either laugh it off or don't say anything. Because otherwise, there is no end to the bitterness, and that's the second lesson. The first being a giving person, the second to be harmonious. The third thing, we have to learn to be compromising. Rav Meir Wicklow has a wonderful book, and by the way, I prepared for all of you, for the men and women, a list of tapes and books that I feel can be advantageous. The only thing that I didn't put on, I put Rabbi Tower's book, I didn't put any as tapes, he told me, on Chosin and Kal, I'm sure he'll talk about them, but that also should be on this list. Wicklow has a book on marriage. In there he tells an unbelievable story. A young couple, they were married just a few months, and here came Pesach. So now, she says, well, of course, we're going to go to my parents, right? Because you go to the college house, the first yontif, the first Pesach. And he says, what do you mean, my parents are moving out of town? How, who knows where the kids will, and we'll ever get a chance to see them? So, of course, this year we're going to go to my parents. And she says, what do you mean, Dominican Klal Yisrael is that you go to the wife's side? And this started such a terrible machlokes. The marriage was almost over before it started. What happens? A person has to compromise. It's like a guy driving through a cross-section, intersection, right? And then there's a big truck coming, but he's got the right of way, and he's going to go anyway. So what happens? All the witnesses say afterwards, he was right. He was dead right. Is that an answer? Is that something because you want to show, because you don't want to give in to compromise? One thing is that we must teach our children responsibility. Not only to be giving people, not only to be courteous people, and not only to be compromising, but responsible. My wife is a teacher, and she cannot figure it out. Why, at 10 o'clock every morning, are mothers coming with snacks and lunches that the kids forgot in class? Why, mothers, are you bailing out your kids? Don't bail them out. If they do something wrong, then they have to suffer the consequences. An irresponsible daughter is an irresponsible mother. An irresponsible son is an irresponsible father. Rabbi Wein, who gives a shir for children in Monty every Shabbos, says so many times, he has enough coats at the end of the season, he can open up a store. Why? Because the mother figures, well, who knows where the kid left his coat? From mail, I'll buy a new one. Don't bail him out. If your child knows how to drive and he gets a parking ticket, don't pay it for him. Don't pay it for him because we're bailing out our children. Let the boys do work in the house. Let the girls do work in the house. The boy should vacuum on the Shabbos. When he comes home, bein hazmanim, even if he came up from Eretz Yisrael, let him check the lettuce. Not your husband should do it. Teach the boys are achrayus. Teach the girls are achrayus. Those fathers that are not learning with their children at night, those mothers who can't get the laundry or the meals ready on time and show up late to the meals for their own kids. You know why? You know why? Because they were raised and they didn't have that responsibility. Don't blame it on your in-laws. That's all we need. But the idea is, but the idea is, if it's too late with your husband and wife, then at least, try for your own children. So that's what I would like to say, the four ways that we can teach our children to be the perfect shidduch. And the truth is, these are not the glamorous things that you look for in a shidduch, whether a kid is giving, whether he's responsible, whether he's compromising, whether he's harmonious. But anybody who's been married knows that these are the factors that will make a perfect and harmonious marriage, not the other under the curtain. Now let's talk about looking for a shidduch. There's a wonderful set of tapes that's available through Torah tapes. Rav Osher Zelig Rubenstein is the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh HaKoilel and Priyei Chaim in Ashdod. He has a wonderful set of tapes. And the way he starts out by telling the Bochurim is the Gemara in Yevomis, Mosun Nosov Issa. Only with slowness and deliberateness will you get to marry the right wife. Don't rush. Not because a girl comes home from seminary does she immediately have to start going out. Not because a boy comes home from Eretz Yisrael does he immediately have to... Don't put the pressure on the kids. If they're not ready, they're not going to make one person miserable in marriage. They'll make two people miserable in marriage. Rabbi Yehuda Jacob, who's a gavaldik mumch and shalom bayis in Yonim and Lakewood. He's been there for decades. He told me he wouldn't let a boy and a girl get engaged until they went out six times. There's no rush. What are you putting the pressure on people? I don't know how it works in Eretz Yisrael, but in our society, what's the rush? We see never. You know what Rashi says on that Gemara, Moshe's not the Vitra. I'm saying, wait! Ad, Shetiv like Marcel, Shaloytehei Rov, Katronis. Look into the girl. Make sure that she's not a bad one or somebody that's argumentative. There's a great story that happened with Rav Zik. Many people know that Rav Zik held that before a boy and a girl got married, they have to see each other eight times. So the story is told that the Satmar Rebbe heard about it, and he sent a message. The message was a pasuk that Rivka said to Yitzchak, "Kasti b'chayi av nebnei Yitzchak." Of course, the pun was, "Kasti b'chayi av nebnei Yitzchak." She didn't like the b'nei Yitzchak, but he said, "Kasti b'chayi sefita b'mir and gal b'nei Yitzchak." These girls that go out eight times. So Rabbik, as only Rabbik could answer back, sent a letter. Ekan azugin ez amasad kedushin is ben amasad gittin. In other words, In other words, Rav Zick realized he saw the result, and therefore it's not an Indian to rush our children. The second thing that Rav Palm stresses very much is that a person should not get despondent. Many, many times, a boy goes out and he's interested in the girl and she's not interested, and the boy thinks it's the end of the world. Sometimes the girl wants the boy and the boy doesn't want, and the girl thinks that it's the end of the world. And he brings the Gemara Moyakot and Rava Shamei Lahu Gava. Rava heard a certain person, the boy Rachmei, that he was misfollowed. He said, "Tizdami Lipfani," said Avis, "to make sure that this is the girl that I'm going to marry." Amalei, they said to him, "Loi to boy Rachmei, that's not smart. Don't be misfollowed for this particular one. Ichazilof loyazlaminach. If it's the right one, you'll get her. Don't be misfollowed for one specific one." And many times you think the shidduch didn't work, the parents think, "Oh, you guys, the sultan's the charan gestelt up." The Rapam says, you know what it says in Bamidbar by Bilam, Chav Beit, "Vayitziyatev Malach Hashem b'derach l'sotan loy." Bilam thought the Malach Hashem was there l'sotan loy, to oppose him. But what does Rashi say? It wasn't l'sotan. Malach Sarachmim hoya. It was the Malach of Rachmim who was doing him the biggest favor. Vayirayt Salamoni Malachah. He was trying to hold him back from doing an Aveira. I can tell you about personally. When I was 21, my father was nifter. Some of you in the audience know me. Believe me, I was an undesirable shidduch. I couldn't get it. Who was going to marry somebody like this? I was the oldest of 7 children. I had to support 6 younger children. One of them was in a kollel in Tel. And I couldn't get a shidduch. So of course, finally, which father or mother is going to let somebody marry somebody who's got to marry off his brothers and sisters yet? So of course, it was very difficult. And finally, anytime I would go out with somebody, and if I was interested, and it didn't work out, I thought it was the end of the world. How in the world am I going to get married? Chaka! I wouldn't blame anybody. Why should they go out with me? And finally, by Zohar Pratis, I had a friend who came from Chicago. He lived in Sarvadas, and his wife was from Denver, and then this girl from Denver came to New York to visit Baruch Hashem. And I'm so happy that all those rejected me. And it worked out wonderful. I just hope that they don't listen to this tape. This past summer, I had the great chutz to be in South Africa, a fabulous, fabulous community. But one of the highlights of my trip was that I met Rav Sternbuch there. Rav Sternbuch spent half a year in Eretz Yisrael and half a year in South Africa. And he told me a tremendous vart that he used to take a walk every day with Rav Velvel Soloveitchik with the Brisker Rav. He told me a tremendous vart that he heard from the Brisker Rav. He says at the end of this parsha, what we're talking about Tzedukim, it says, "Vayiviyel Yitzchok Ayel Asorah," that Yitzchok brought Rivka into the oil, but Yitzchok has Rivka and he married her. But he says, that's not what Targum says. Targum adds something. Targum says, "Va'ala Yitzchok l'matkina," and listen what he says, "V'chazor," and he saw, "V'hotakdin oivzoha ka'ovdei sarim." He saw that her maisim was just like the maisim of Sarah. That doesn't say in the parsha, in the pasuk, but the Targum is adding that. So the Brisker Rav adds, why did the Targum add that? And he says, you know what the reason is? Because what does it say in the previous pasuk? "Vayisaper eved liYitzchok." Rashi says Yitzchok was told all the things that Eliezer tzvitas adera, and that the Avisa major at Rivka came right away, and that Besuel tried to stop it and he got killed. Everything happened, but for Yitzchok, all the concerns is nothing. Don't give me all the nitzim. Don't give me all the simanim in mind. I want to see what the girl is like. I want to see the uvda of the girl. And Rav Shlomo Volbel, who said over this voice, I heard on a tape, he said the Brisker Rav Gehalten as a chetzef and a shidduch is a mevel. As only the Brisker Rav could say. What does that mean? That it's only the girl and not the Chitzonius. There's another pasuk in that pasuk of Shiduchim, and it tells us Vayema Avram al Avdoi Zekan Beis HaMoishel B'chol Asher Loi. Everybody teaches that Eliezer was the Moishel of everything that Avram had. That's not how the Klayoka teaches it. The Klayoka teaches HaMoishel B'chol Asher Loi. He says Eliezer was a Moishel over everything that he had. Listen what he says. Lefisha kol mishu hu lord achachenda samomain. Anybody who runs after money, then money is ruling him. He is not ruling the money. A person, you're involved in a shidduch, the klayoka is saying, umizeh hatzad himinu l'Eliezer. You know why he believed Eliezer and he trusted him? Ki yodashu hu moishel al kol asheloi, ve'ein mamoinoi moishel boi. Al kein lo yachrichu hamomain, lasoiz bavuroi, masheinu roi v'nochain. He wasn't worried about Eliezer because Eliezer wasn't obsessed by money. Money wasn't the most important thing when it came to a shidduch. To such a person, he was a moishel b'chol asheloi. He didn't have to worry about it. There's a frightening gemara in Kedushin, frightening mamash. Kedushin Ayin Omer Aleph, it says, Kolan Noisi Isha Lashum Momen, anybody who marries a girl because of money, Havim Abonim Sheinim Uhogonim. He's going to have children that are not proper. How in the world can anybody take a chance and put a price tag on their siddur only because of money? Chas v'shalom, it could be bonim, she'enim uhugonim. Know that it's reasonable for a bocher to look for support. That's reasonable and that's acceptable. But it is unacceptable and an abuse for a bocher to look for a free ride. We have heard about tzedukim that want to have not only support, a trip to Eretz Yisrael, a vacation, a summer vacation. What has that got to do? What are we making him, an instant tycoon? Somebody told me he has a bungalow colony, and he has an 18-year-old son. So this past summer, the 18-year-old son's friend came in to the bungalow. He looks around, and the first word he says, boy, would I like to have a shver who has a place like this. Is that what we're looking for in a shira? I'll tell you about a father who had a daughter, and she was going out, and then they looked into a certain book, and the shopkin was in between, and finally, the shopkin said, before you go out, before your daughter goes out, the family wants you to know that they want long-term support. So the father said, wait a second, long-term support? If that's the case, let me talk to see what this boy is, what kind of masmid he is. I heard that he's a good boy, but let me see if he's a masmid. And he found out that this bocher, when it comes to a chasana of one of his friends, he's the first one to leave the Beis Medrash. And he's one of these fancy dancers who knows all the steps, and he's the last one to come back at night. So the father said, I'm going to support him for dancing lessons. He can't go out with my son. You know what Rabbeinu Bechaya says? Rabbeinu Bechaya says in this thing that Rambam quotes, a person has to know, Mamoin yesh l'knafayim. Money has wings. And in the Medrash Bamidbar Chav Beis Ches, it says, you know why Zuzin, money is called Zuzin? Shezoz mizeh v'noisim l'zeh. It goes from one to the other. Money is not a thing that's going to last forever. Look around. All of us know people who had so much money just a few years ago. Imagine if they would have married off their daughters on the premise that they're going to give so much money to their agents. The money's gone. Money has wings. That's not the toichen. We cannot be obsessed by money, and we can't allow that such a thing should continue. And I want to mention one more thing, which I feel with reference to this thing of money. I believe that it is wrong, and you must ask a rav. Every family has to ask a rav first and be guided by a rav if their daughters should go automatically into teaching. Teaching is a noble profession. My daughters are teachers. But if a family knows that they cannot support the agent that's going to sit and learn, and the jobs of teaching are so many, and as the Novominsky Rebbe said at a Talmud Torah convention, the salaries for teachers today is outrageous. The women teachers were talking. When were those salaries set? Many years ago, when they were just a side income, but it's the main income. It's our achrayus to take action, as the Aguda program said that that's what we're here. We take action. We have to make sure that the teacher salaries are higher. But if they're not going to be higher, then every family has the achrayus to see maybe their daughter should go either into teaching in the secular topics, because over there sometimes there's more money, or perhaps into the workforce. Now, I realize the problem, Coach, what about Melech Panima, and it's not easy to go into the business world. But we have to find a solution for everybody automatically to go into teachers, so everybody to compete for these few jobs. There's no way that such a thing can possibly continue, because everybody is choking financially, and that's not a way in Klal Yisrael how it can exist. For whatever reason that the Eivishta wanted it, and obviously none of us can know, that there are more accomplished girls today than there are boys. And it's so difficult. I can just tell you a story that happened recently. There's a fellow who has a number of children. He has two older daughters, and they're both desperately looking for a shidduch, and they were in a shoe store recently. And a lady came over to them and said, they just hardly even know them. She said, would you mind if I ask you something personal? They said, she said, okay, here it comes. He said, what is your brother looking for? He's 18 years old. Could you imagine? It's a terrible situation. But those of us who have sons have to realize that we have an achrayus to put their minds in perspective, especially if they're good boys. A menahel told me that a lady told him, my son has 52 girls on his list and not one of them deserves him. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? What does that boy think? He becomes arrogant, he becomes self-centered, he becomes a balgaiva, and a terrible risk in marriage. So those of us who have good boys, and many of you, I know you here, you have wonderful sons, we have the achrayus to put their minds in perspective. Who knows, maybe someday that the situation will switch, but that is inaccurate. If I were to tell you what people are asking today, about families in Tzedukim, you won't believe me. I was in Chicago a few weeks ago and a lady told me that somebody called up, they wanted to know about a boy's family. Do they eat on paper plates ever? Could you imagine? Is that a criteria for marriage if they eat on paper plates? I just want to say that my mechutin is sitting here, Freddie Pfeiffer from Montreal, and I would like to apologize, Freddie. I never told you that we had time to eat on plastic plates. So I'm not sure if plastic has a din paper or a din semi-china. Last week, Erev Shabbos, the yeshiva sanitarium, a kid came running in. He thought that I'm speaking on Sudukas. He said, my mother just called me. You're not going to believe this shayla that she just got. A girl's family. They want to know about the boy. It's unbelievable. He said, does he wear slip-on shoes or shoes with laces? Can you believe? So mama said, oh, only in the yeshiva, after my, we all had a deal. What did this lady mean? So somebody said, no. I thought that maybe if a guy wears slip-ons, maybe it's like too cool, you know? Like he's wearing loafers, right? So she doesn't want that. Then somebody said, no, she wants to know if he's lazy. So he's just going to slip his shoe right in. And then another one said, no. He said, no, I want to know. She probably wants to know if the guy's such a masmid that he's not even going to take a second to tie his shoes and then go wash his hands. And then somebody said, no. And maybe the guy's shirking mitzvahs. How is he ever going to tie his left shoe first? Are these criteria for marriage? I'll tell you something that the Stipler Rav said. Unbelievable when it comes to looking into a shidduch. Most of us won't believe it, so I'm going to tell you exactly where it is in a Sefer Arkas Rabbeinu that talks about the Minhagim and the Hanhagas of the Stipler and his Machshavas. Somebody asked the Stipler, you're talking a shidduch, a certain girl whose brother is Nebuch not from. So what does it say? Everybody knows the Gemara and Bava Basa Kuf Yud Amar Aleph. Hanoisi Yisha Terech Shigivdek Ba'achel. You have to check the mother's brother. So the Stipler said, that's not Negev Bizman Hazeh. He said, that was the time of Moshe Rabbeinu when everybody's from. But today, when there's advertising, and there's television, and there's such a spinster of God, and he's talking in Bnei Brak. So therefore, it's not fair, because sometimes parents don't have a sleep over a child. So it's not a pagamon mitzvah for family if a bracha went off the dera. So we have to know, we have to have proper insight before we look into a girl. And if a bracha taka is not true in the family, it's not necessarily a pogam according to the Stipler. You have to know how to ask kashas. Oh, my Rav told me. They asked really recently. He was looking for a shidduch for his daughter, bracha Hashem, they found the right shidduch. But as he was looking, so he called the anhal of one of the yeshivas. And he wanted to know, is this bracha Yerushimayim? Father, a Yerushimayim for the Yerushimayim. But our Shlomo Tzadok Bar Mitzvah, he says, tell me, does he come to Musa Seder? Not always. How about davening? How many times does he come to davening in the morning? Many times. So he says to the guy in Danor, Musa say that he doesn't come. And Davin, he doesn't come. So what do you mean it's Yerushimayim? Because it's a mezuzah. It's ridiculous. Rav Ashi Rubenstein has a consulting thing. He says, a bachar, an older bachar, one of his talmidim was looking for a shidduch. So they wanted to find out from a certain person. He said, this guy is mamish and memon. Ask him, he'll tell you about the girl. So he calls the guy, he says, tell me about the girl. How old is she? The guy wouldn't lie to save his life. He says, my wife says she's 21. So he goes back to Rav Asher and he says to him, you know, his wife said he's 21. He said, of course his wife said he's 21. She's not 21. He doesn't want to lie. Let her lie. So he calls him back. He says, please, tell me how she's in her early 20s. She's 2 weeks before her 25th birthday. So therefore, that takes the early 20s. And the final thing that I want to say is, as far as choosing a shidduch, every person, every bachur and every girl has to have a yoye. You have to have somebody that you can talk to, and it shouldn't be a single boy. It shouldn't be a single girl. It has to be somebody who's married and somebody who's responsible. And if you're fortunate that your children consult with you, fine, but don't be offended. Many times they feel that they can talk to somebody, a younger man or a young lady that's married and responsible. Every bracha should be given that opportunity to have a yoye. And that's the reason why I had this printed up for you. You can take so many wonderful etzes from Svarim, Lashon Kodesh, and in English, and those wonderful tapes. And one more thing which I believe is very important, and that is, when a boy meets a girl, the girl's family gets to see the boy throughout. I think it's ridiculous that the boy's family gets to meet the girl 5 minutes before the engagement. I feel that somewhere early in the relationship, I can't tell you what day, just like I can't tell you when you should take the dirty term test and when you should check the numbers, which of course is important. But someplace early in the relationship without pressure, the girl's family should meet the boy someplace, or the boy's family should meet the girl rather, so that they should understand mitzvot mahandel, so that at least they will be able to give some advice. And so therefore, let's just review these points. We have to take it slow and not crush our children. We have to not be despondent, chas v'shalom, if it doesn't work out right away. We have to know, as the Brisker Rav says, that the girl is the chesed and the shidduch. We can't let money and other things blind us. We have to put the perspective in the proper perspective with our children, with our boys especially. We have to know how to ask questions and answer questions, and we have to give our children the opportunity to have a yoye. I want you to know, Rabbi, say that today we face a modern day Holocaust. There are thousands of children that are not going to be born. There are doyers that are not going to be realized, because there are thousands and thousands of singles, and Rabbi Tauber has spoken to them many times, that are in the West Side, that are in Brooklyn. And it's easy to blame them, and you could say, well, they've made a life for themselves, they use it as an option. There's tremendous start by these people. They all want to get married. They may not tell it to you, but they all want to get married. And there's a frightening mashal in Shabbos on the Gemara that Rabbi Steinberg quoted. It said, at the end of a person's life, they're going to ask him many things. And one of the things that they're going to ask him is a fact of a pru revu, where you're Isaac and pru revu. And the mashal says, that's not the mitzvah of having children. Otherwise, it would have said, kiyamta. Did you do anything to marry off a yasam and a yasayma? That's the kasha, a sakta bapiri of Eridia. All those singles that don't have people to read shidduchim to them, they are together yasam v'yasayma. And it's our obligation from this kinnus to get involved, as Rabbi Steinberg said, and try to read shidduchim to these people, because you need more people to get involved with these people. Invite them. There are two tzaddikim in Brooklyn, Dr. Aaron Mandel and Mordechai Gelber. They're involved with it. You should get in contact with them and get in contact with other organizations, but try to read shidduchim to these people. I would suggest that Agudat Yisrael should have two couples. They should be paid, not al tzadchonim. They should be paid just to sit in that good office, and there should be a registry, and everybody should have a rav that recommends them. And that should be their function, to try to read shidduchim. And when you read shidduchim to these people, don't just put them together because one is a man and one is a woman. There's one fellow, he gave me Musa de Kamoisha Kasa, but he was right 100%. He was in my house, Sukkot night. And I once asked him, how come you don't come that often when I invite you? He says, you want to know the truth? I said, okay, I'm ready. He said, what kind of gall do you have to invite me Friday night when you see me in shul? Do you think that I didn't prepare for Shabbos? Why didn't you think about me during the week? You come to shul Friday night, you don't think I put challahs on the table? You don't think I made myself soup and chowls? Of course, if you would think about it Tuesday afternoon, then of course, then I would do something. Then I would come, and he was right and I was wrong. And that's the same thing with shidduchim. Don't just match two people, think about it. A guy who's on the market for many years told me a story, it's unbelievable. He told me a lady called him up and she said, I have a shidduch for you. I have my sister. So he knows that she's a nice lady. He said, okay, good, let me call her. He said, no, don't call her. She's coming from out of town. I don't want you to make a long distance call. When she comes in, I'll call you and you'll be able to speak to her. He says, okay, the day that she comes in, I'll call her. No, I'll make it up. We'll meet, don't worry. Monday, Madison and 34th. Madison 34th, 4 o'clock. You know what kind of traffic there is. Fine. He comes to Madison and 34th. He's there with his car. And he looks out the window, he sees two from girls. He motions them in. The girl comes into the car and the other girl says she's going back to her house. He starts speaking to her. No response. Finally, he says to her, excuse me, do you speak English? No. He says, at medaberet ivrit? No. Yiddish? So frustrated. He says, se habla español? She said, no, Portuguese. She said, it came from Portugal. So he said, he took her straight home to where this sister was. And he said, why did you read me such a shit out? She said, well, I figured maybe you would see her, maybe you would strike up a conversation, somehow you would get together. Of course, that guy's hurt. Unfortunately, some of these stories happen to the same person. This guy tells me he went to a shidduch. He went to a place and he met the girl. He opened up the door. She should be able to go out of the house. And then when they came downstairs, he opened up the door and she went into the car. She sits down. He's got his keys in his hand. And she says to him, what do you do? He says, I'm a Rebbe. You're a Rebbe? What do you teach? I teach Chumash. I teach Halacha. You teach? You don't know you're not going to walk Achaya and Isha? You open the door for me and I walk in front of you. You watch how I got into the car. She opens up the door. She walks out of the house and she walks back into the apartment. He goes running up. They still got the key in his hand. So the doorman says, I think the date is over. So he says to him, it never got started. But why do we read shidduchim like that? Just because he's a boy and she's a girl, we have to give it some thought. I just want to end with this thought and then another great story. It says in Tilim Kuchaf Aleph, Shira Malay Sesa Ina Elohodim Ayim Yavayezri, The Medrash tells us in Vayetze Yaakov Avinu said, Me'ayin Yovei Ezri, where is my Ezra Kenegda going to come from? Ezri Me'yim Hashem Oisei Shemayim V'aret. Ashira comes from Shemayim. Regardless of what we teach our children about being giving and responsible and all those wonderful qualities, regardless of the effort that we're going to make, we have to all know and believe, as the Bereshis Rabba says in Samachet, everything is Tolim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I was talking to my Rav, Clement Arabam, and he told me such an unbelievable insight into the parsha that we were talking about. How many times have we learned the parsha and I never saw it? He says, look how many times the Avish is mentioned in that parsha of Shiduchim. Avram Avinu is talking to Eliezer. Eliezer says, maybe she's not going to want to come back with me. So Avram Avinu says, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim HaShem Lekochani, the Avish that took me out, who Yisrach Malachai? Don't worry, it's Min HaShemayim, he'll help you. After Eliezer is going on the way, he says, Vayomar, with a shalshelet. Oh, you can imagine Vayomar shalshelet. He's with Paul. Hashem lekei adeni Avram, hakarin elafonai. Make arrangements that I should get the right shidduch. Finally, the right shidduch comes. Nochamo, mitzvah vayomar boruch Hashem lekei adeni Avram. Oh, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what happens? Vayomar b'suel, lover of b'suel, right? They said, Mashem yotah hadava. Everybody's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everybody realized Ashkocha. But here's the clincher. Yitzchok went out by Yetzer, Yitzchok Lasuach Basodah. Yitzchok was going out. What was he going out to be misfalo for? We know that he went to be misfalo for Tzilas Mincha. So Rav Shlomo said that Tziach means a shrub, a plant, a bush, something that you grow with. You know why that lesson is used in Tfilah? By Yetzer, Yitzchok, Yitzchok went out to daven that he should be able to grow. How could he grow? He grows by a shiddah. And that's the topic that we started out with. Elokim Moishiv Yechidim Baisa. The Avis is the one who takes individuals and brings them into a family. And that's what we have to know. All our Ishtadlis, we need tefillah, and everybody knows we've spoken about it dozens of times. You daven for other people, and the Avis will answer you first. We all have children, we want to marry them off. Daven for others, and then the Avis will help you. I just want to end with this great, beautiful, touching story. Many years ago, there was a balabot, a very, very chashuv balabot who died young. His name was Rav Shraga Feivel Frank. He had a brother-in-law. The brother was Rav Zvulun Brit. And Rav Zvulun Brit took it his achrayus. He's going to marry off the daughters of his brother-in-law, Rav Shraga Feivel, because he had passed away. And so he went to the lodge and he got a shidduch for a girl, Menucha. That girl, Menucha, Frank, married Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein. Became the Rosh Hashiva in Hebron. A few years later, he wanted to marry off the other niece. And so he came to Volozhin, and he looked around, and he found that the best bocher in the yeshiva was Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. And he went to the Netziv, and he asked the Netziv, is this the good one? And the Netziv said, it's the best. He went to Rav Chaim, who was in Volozhin at that time, and Rav Chaim said, this is the best, and he spoke to the bocher, and they arranged the shidduch. Rav Yisrael Zalman was a very sickly boy. When he was in Rodin, he had been in a home of a butcher, listening to the Avos Yisrael of Rav Yisrael Zalman. And he was very sick, he had tuberculosis. How did he get it? Many people say that one of the ways that the illness progressed was because the butcher used to hang up the skins that he had from the animals on the sides of the window, and right by the window where Rav Yisrael Zalman slept, and it would smell terrible. And of course, those of you who know how leather smells, it smells terrible as it's being refined. So they said to Rav Yisrael Zalman Yeshiva, why don't you go and tell the Rosh Yeshiva, and he'll move you to another place. He said, if I tell him, there's no way that they will give the butcher somebody else, so I don't want to let him lose money. So he was very, very sick, and he finally wrote a letter to the Kalas family, and he said that I would like to know, he said he's very sick, and he gives them permission to break the shit up. And of course, in the beginning, they didn't want to hear of it, so they sent a letter, they sent a wagon for him, that they should bring him to Kovna, and that they should take him to a doctor. But once the doctor said that he is very, very sick, everybody begged this girl, begged her to break the shit up. And the doctor said she could live, that he could live only one more year. And she said, no, he's such a tzaddik, he's such a balmidus. I have faith that he's going to live more than one year. And it's worth it for me, even if it's one year, I want to live with such a person. I'm not going to give up the shit up. And the family begged and pleaded, and finally she had no choice. They made her go to the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim looked at the girl, and he said to her, after she told him this terrible problem about sick Rav Yisrael Zalman was, and he said to her, es is a mensch of a zene gezund, and es is a mensch of a sleven line. He said, there are people that live long, and there are people that are healthy. And he said, Tochteru, oy b'shiv asher kemen zech elferen mit ashrach aman. If it's Basher, you can live a long life even with a Shracha person. And she went, and Bela Hinda Taka married Rav Yisrael Zalman. And after many, many, many years, Rav Yisrael Zalman lived till he was more than 80. After many years, One time, a family member came to Bela Hinder, the Choshev Rebbetzin, and they said to her, "Did you ever regret your decision?" And she said, "I want you to know that never for a moment did I regret that decision. And I believe that my husband, the Rosh Yeshiva, never regretted it either." May it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all our children should enter Shidduchim that they should never regret. All our Shidduchim should find peace and tranquility in their Shidduchim, as the Ran says. And may all, like the great Rav Samson Fol Hirsch and the great Rav Yisrael Zalman and Bela Hinder, may they all fulfill their great potential.